So while they're taking the offering, turn to Philippians chapter 3, verse 15. Today, I want to embrace one of the most amazing verses in the Bible. That's the only way I can say it. It's so amazing when I read it that I'm afraid I'm not going to communicate it. I know that I was listening to a guy that teaches sermons at Dallas Theological Seminary, and he said a little mist in the pulpit is a fog in the pew. And I've always thought how true that is, that it's really hard as a speaker to be clear. And I'm going to be talking about a verse today that I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't know how it works. I just know it does. Okay? Now, are you a little piqued and intrigued? Yeah. All right. Paul says that God talks to us. And we have the gamut throughout our society of how we think God talks to us. But I've yet to talk to the real person when I get down into detail that knows how that's done. So God talks to us so that we can align our thoughts and our actions with his thoughts and be in unity with God. That's what we're going to talk about today. So God, through the scripture, has always been faithful to those who love him and follow him and show them direction and the best desires for their life. It even says, and we went over this a chapter earlier, that God works in us both to will and to do. And it means to wish and to do of his good pleasure. So here's the first principle I want to give you, kind of in style with our margin series, even though that's over. And that is a pretty obvious one. God promises to communicate with us. God promises to communicate with us. And here's what he says in Philippians 3:15. And listen to these words. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, meaning complete, meaning ones who have grown up spiritually and understand, and I'm going to explain that in a little bit, have this mind, this understanding, and if in anything you think otherwise, if anything you think differently, God will reveal, another good one is uncover, and I think in this case, uncover may be the better translation. God will uncover even this to you. God will reveal this to you and me. Which brings us to promise two. God will uncover your differences in thinking with him. You know, that's a great promise, isn't it? Because we sure can think different than God. You know, it's interesting because as a pastor, every Sunday that I come in, I sit down and talk with people, and some people have great attitudes, their sights are on God, and other people are griping about what they're having to do and this kind of thing. And sometimes, you know, it's just somebody has kind of a stinky personality for the day. Isn't that the way we are? It's easy to go up and down in attitudes. And here it says that God will uncover the differences that we think compared to him. So when Paul says, therefore, at the beginning of that verse, he just referred to something earlier in the passage. And I want to remind you, because we have broken off and done a series on margins for 4 weeks. So I want to go back and help us remember what we've been thinking. So I want to go back to verse 13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended or to finish the race, but one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind. Now, what was Paul talking about? Well, he starts out the third chapter saying he's the Jew of Jews. He's a Pharisee. He's of the tribe of Benjamin. We know that Paul was a rabbi. He was one of the 70 elders of Israel. So he was pretty powerful. And all those things would stop him and give him self-doubt. And so he says, forgetting most of those things that are behind. Did he say that? No. He said, forgetting all those things that are behind. And I want you to think about that this morning, because it's very easy. I thought, okay, what's something big in my life? And I remember I came from a fairly abusive home. My dad was very abused as a kid, and he grew up and he really tried hard, did well, but he still was pretty abusive. And I can remember in probably late junior high, or it was probably early high school, I stood up to him right to his face. I popped. You know what I'm saying? I had done something. He says, get in the house because you're going to get a beating. And all of a sudden, I couldn't help myself. I went right up into his face and I said, who's going to do it? You? And then in my mind, I'm thinking, what am I saying? You know, one of those kind of things. And so we had kind of a bad relationship for a while. And you know, I thought about it, and boy, it consumed a lot of my life. And finally, I was able to lay that down in my life. Do you know what I'm saying? And you all have those different kinds of things. Man, you got relatives. You got it. And so I was able to lay that down and let it go. And then all of a sudden, it freed me up. And I could let go of those things that were behind me. And don't you find those things over and over in your life? You think you're all done, and then something else comes into your life. And so Paul's saying, shove it to the back. And somehow we think, well, we got to deal with it and keep dealing with it. Well, there's a sense in which we may need to talk about it and understand it, but the bottom line is, set it down, Paul's saying. Set it down. And I don't know what's in your life. It might be an affair. It may be cheating with someone or cheating on someone financially or a theft or previous sins. It may be a secret in your life that you could never tell another soul. And you know what Paul says? Forgetting those things which are behind. Set it down. It's forgiven, isn't it? It's forgiven. Set it down. And so then he gets to the second half of the verse, and he says, reaching forward, stretching forward. And if you remember when we were going through that, that meant where you're running a race, and you get to the tape, and you stick out your chest, you know? My chest wasn't always as big as some of those runners, you know, but stick out your chest to break the tape first. That's exactly what Paul has in mind here. And reaching forward to those things which are ahead. And what is that? Well, in 10, verse 10, he covered it. Knowing Christ. Knowing the power of his resurrection. And partnering, this is the one I don't like so much, partnering with Christ in his sufferings. And yet, if you stop to think about it, our life is about suffering on this earth. This earth is screwed up. Amen? Yeah, it's screwed up, and things don't ever work out right. No matter what you dream, it doesn't come to pass. This is not the life that God intended for us to live. The next one is. And so then in 14, he says, I press towards, or I pursue the goal. And I love the goal there because it really is like a bow and arrow, and it's like the target, hitting the target. I press towards the goal of the prize of the upward call, and this up call, our up call, heaven, our heavenly calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know, what is the call? I think God is telling us all the time, come on to heaven. Come on. I know you got to wait a little bit, but come on. Buy your ticket. We're going to get in heaven, right? And boy, I tell you, when you start having struggles in your life and it starts getting bad, aren't you glad you're heaven bound? Oh, man, this is where faith comes in. And so I think God is telling me, Steve, come on, come on, come on to heaven. And I'm thinking, Lord, take me now. Right? Because I don't want to go through the sufferings with Christ. I just want to go right now. And he's saying, in a bit, but come on. And so the call here on earth is to know Christ, to understand the power that raised Jesus up from the dead, and then to participate in the sufferings and continue to suffer with him until that day that he comes back or we take our last breath. And keeping our eyes on the finish line, keeping our eyes on heaven. And Paul's not going to take his eyes off. And I pray we don't either. So what's the goal? Heaven and all the things of heaven. Now, I want to go over to Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If you have your Bibles, turn there with me and put something in the thing back to Philippians so you don't lose your place. I want to read this scripture, and I'm going to tell you, this scripture, I'm going to read four verses, and it is the answer to life. It's the answer to not having bad attitudes. It's the answer to be able to get through a lot of the rubbish that we have to go through on this earth. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ. Now, have we been raised with Christ? Yeah, the scripture says that he's raised it up in Ephesians 2, that as soon as we put our faith and trust in Christ, he raised us up into heavenly places. And you know, heavenly places in the Bible is also the word we get for just heaven. So that's why, and I've said before, we're kind of schizophrenic because half of us are there now and the other half is here. And I like the one up there. I don't like the one down here so much. But we've been raised with Christ. And so it says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Oh, wouldn't it be great if we would follow that? For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. For when Christ, who is our life, because he traded his life for ours, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Isn't that neat words? I mean, when I read those words, it's almost like some kind of a poem or something. And what are those things from above? Well, I got to think about it, and I thought, well, certainly the fruit of the Spirit, right? The fruit of the Spirit is love. Do you think love's in heaven? Joy, peace, long-suffering, long patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Then we have righteousness, holiness. We sing every week about his holiness, his righteousness. He's made us righteous. Worship, thankfulness, having a thankful heart. All those are heavenly things. But if we put our mind on things upon the earth, what is that? Well, I looked up on Galatians 5:22 for the fruit of the Spirit. I looked up to 19, and here's what Paul says here. Now the works of the flesh are evident, are obvious. The works of the flesh are obvious, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, which means an unwholesomeness, idolatry, covetousness. I think that's America's pastime is coveting, isn't it? Sorcery, hatred, hostilities, contentions, arguing, you're wrong and I'm right, jealousies. Man, I want what they have. Outbursts of wrath, rage. Man, I'm sick of it. Selfish ambitions. Ambitions that are slightly underhanded or manipulative. Dissensions, division. I don't agree with you. Ooh, you know, she's wrong and I'm right. And I'm going to tell everybody that I'm right and let them know that she's wrong. Heresies. False teaching, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, which means partying, but not in a good sense, and the like, Paul says, because the list probably goes on forever and ever and ever. You know what I'm saying? That's all the gifts we get if we keep our eyes on earth. But if we keep our eyes on the things of heaven, we get all those great things. Because we forget in our daily routine that God is the answer. That God is the answer and the light to our life. So we get to principle three. Our eyes must be on the things of heaven. Now, let me illustrate this. I want to go back a little bit into last week's sermon and talk about it for just a second, because I think it totally illustrates the fact that how we can get our eyes off heaven and onto things on the earth. Last week, I talked about spiritual gifts, and many people this week, I mean many, it was probably the most feedback I ever got from a sermon, between email calls and visitations, people asked me questions about their own spiritual gifts. And this is what I said last week. I said during the series on margin, it's vital to know who you are and what you are built and equipped to do as a person in the body of Christ. Whether it was in the church or a ministry or a job or a family, it all washes together. And you will find a sense of peace, a sense of ease, because doing your gift is almost effortless. And then I said, you need to look at those one or two things that God has built you to do well and do them. And so many people said to me this week, well, Steve, I find it hard to only do those one or two things. And I agree, because the world isn't that easy, is it? And that's right. In fact, my thoughts went to this week. It was a lot of fun because Danny and Lindsay over here are, raise your hands. They are our children's ministry leaders. And so I was walking through the front lobby, and I came around, and I find Lindsay on the floor, and Danny's standing next to her helping her, and they're cleaning up pop on the carpet. And somebody had left a pop cup on the security table on Sunday, and so this was like, what was it, Wednesday or Thursday? And they accidentally knocked it over, and it went all, you know how sometimes there's, you know, something spills and the lid stays on, and you think, oh, great, great. Not this time. Went all over the place. And so Lindsay's down there scrubbing it with a towel and trying to get it up. And I took Danny and we got the rug doctor, and Aaron got involved, and we sucked up all the pop and washed the carpet and all clean. If you go over there, you can't even tell that pop had ever been spilled. Now, I'm thinking that isn't Danny and Lindsay's spiritual gift. What do you think? In fact, I don't think that's anybody's spiritual gift. Now, there may be some crazy people. I don't know. I mean, there's people that do all kinds of things, and some people may just love to clean up pop off a carpet. But I'm assuming not, at least at this point. I'm thinking it wasn't one of their one or two spiritual gifts, and yet, where do the eyes have to be? Well, Danny and Lindsay have a heart for the kids in that ministry, and so their eyes are on Jesus Christ. So they can clean up the pop. They can feel good about it. Yeah, it's not fun. That's not what I'm talking about. But where are their eyes? They're on heaven. They're on the things of heaven and not on this earth. Now, I'm sure in the process we all go to the earth first, right? And we're ticked off because the pop spilled. And then somewhere along the line, we go through the process of getting our eyes back on Christ. Spiritual gift, non-spiritual gift, it doesn't matter, because it's not about that. In fact, I had to laugh because I was talking with one person about isolating gifts. And so he went home and he says to his wife, well, I think my two gifts are operating my computer and going hunting. So all the rest is yours. And she said, well, that's fine. But you'll have to make your own dinner and wash your own clothes, because those aren't my gifts either. It's an issue of looking up, my friends. It is not an issue of looking on the earth, because as soon as we look at the earth, where does our attitude go? It always goes down, just as our eyes go down. Our eyes must be on the things of heaven. Which brings us to principle four again. Our eyes must be on the things of heaven. We keep our eyes on Christ and on heavenly things. And if we drop them and it goes to the earth, we begin to cultivate that bad attitude. And pretty soon we don't like anybody. And pretty soon we're being totally taken advantage of. Is it just me? No, we all feel that way. You know it and I know it. Because of that, you and I sometimes have bad attitudes. You and I have felt isolated. You and I have felt frustrated in this ministry, at our job, at our home, with our mates, with our children. Not our grandchildren. And finally, just like you, I stop and listen. And I begin to listen to the Lord. And the question goes through my mind while I'm doing the cleanup or whatever it may be. Steve, buddy, what are you thinking? Now, I don't hear those words. I just know those words are in my heart. And I hear the question come in my mind, and there's no condemnation, there's no judgment. It's just a question in my heart. Where are you at, Steve? And at once I think, I realize that I'm listening to myself. I'm thinking about myself. I've gotten selfish and I've begun to start to struggle. And then I think to myself, Steve, look around. And as soon as I look around, I see other people cleaning up pop and fixing things. And others are working hard and they need encouragement, just like we need encouragement. And pretty soon I think, you know, Steve, it's not about you. It's about him. It's about my citizenship in heaven. Don't you remember? In the scripture comes back, if then you've been raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things upon the earth, for you are dead, for you died, and your life is hidden in Christ with God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Do you remember that, Steve? Now, I don't know how it is for you. I was telling Deb, I feel like sometimes I hear in my mind patience, and I stop and I think, okay, I got to be patient. Love. Okay, I got to love them. I was explaining it to Debbie and said, no, that's not how it works for me. And so I realized that what happens is that individually, every one of us hear from God, but we don't know how we do that. Isn't that true? Some say, oh, I heard the actual words. Others say, well, it's just a thought in my mind. It is somewhere in between, I'm telling you. And you know, when I stop and think, okay, Lord, you're right. There's a difference in our thinking. I'm thinking one thing and you're thinking another. I'm going to go back to the love and the righteousness and the holiness and the patience and the goodness and kindness and self-control. All of a sudden, things get easier in my life. Things get clear. I see the target. I see the goal. I see heaven in my sights. And I hear God in this. And I can't tell you how. So my little mist up here is going to be a fog for you. And you're going to have to decide in your own life, how is it that you hear from God? Sometimes I open up my scripture and I'm reading. And this week I read on King, I'm in 2 Chronicles, and I was reading about Joash the king. And Joash is 8 years old when he becomes king, and there's a priest that disciples him and keeps him thinking right. And finally, after 25 or 30 years of Joash being king, the priest dies, and people in Jerusalem come and say, look, Joash, man, you know, nothing's happening right and all this kind of thing. Let's start worshiping idols. And Joash gets his eyes off God. And he begins to think about the things on the earth. And pretty soon he says, yeah, let's just set up some wooden images and let's start worshiping him. And then then the priest's son comes to him and says, don't you remember what my father did for you and what the Lord has done for you? And Joash and the people took him out and stoned him. He got his eyes so far off God, he ended up creating murder. And it hit me really hard when I read that, because I thought, isn't that just like us? It may not be that we don't stone somebody, but as soon as some people say something, it triggers eyes, get off heaven and get on the things on the earth. And that's when the Holy Spirit witnesses to us, and we've got to be ready to listen. We've got to listen to what God is telling us in our heart. There's too many things we can get dogged out about. We can't go there. We got to keep our eyes on Christ. We got to keep our eyes on the things of heaven. So the question really is this morning, will you keep your eyes on heaven? Is that your response? Will you give it up to God? You got a solid case for everything on this earth and why you've been mistreated, why things are doggish, why you have too much work, all these different things. You got a great case. So do you want to live with that, or do you want to get your eyes on heaven? Let's pray. Father, we come this morning and we read the scriptures, and oh my, I look at Colossians 3, 1 to 3, and what great verses those are. What a great moment in thought that you pen through Paul's heart. That if we then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. And Lord, I just pray that we will keep our eyes above. When we get caught in these worldly traps and worldly whatevers, Lord, help us to listen. Help us to stop talking and listen to what your Holy Spirit is telling us. And may you change our hearts. In Jesus' name.
Today,